Shedding Shackles is sponsored by Roland Trujillo.
Hi, this is Roland. Today I'm going to be talking about some of my favorite Christian writers who talked about getting closer to God and what we can learn from them. One of my favorite writers is A.W. Tozer. Here's what A.W. Tozer had to say about getting closer to God in his classic book, The Pursuit of God. A.W. Tozer said, "Whatever else it embraces, true Christian experience must always include a genuine encounter with God." Mr. Tozer went on to say, "In religion, more than in any other field of human experience, a sharp distinction must always be made between knowing about and knowing. The distinction is the same as between knowing about food and actually eating it. A man can die of starvation knowing only about bread, and a man can remain spiritually dead while knowing all the historic facts of Christianity." A.W. Tozer from his book, The Pursuit of God. We're going to be talking about getting closer to God today. So fasten your seatbelts. Here we go.
Welcome to Shedding Shackles. Today's topic is the secret power. And now, here's your Shedding Shackles host, Roland Trujillo.
Hi, everyone. This is Roland. Today, I would like to reminisce a little bit, if you don't mind. I want to tell you how I first heard of some of my favorite spiritual writers. And, of course, those of you who have listened to me for a while, you know that some of my favorite people are people like, let me start off with A.W. Tozer. I want to start with A.W. Tozer because he's very well known. He's highly respected. He's beloved by many people. And he's almost a contemporary, a man who lived in the 20th century. And then, of course, many of you know that I like Madame Jean Guyon, who wrote A Short and Easy Method of Prayer. And in English, there are various translations of the title, which was originally in French. In English, it's sometimes called, for example, Experiencing God Through Prayer. In fact, that's my favorite title. But there are others, but it's all the same book. It's a very simple little book she wrote about getting closer to God. And who else do I like? Well, I like François Fenelon. Many of you are familiar with him. He's also well-liked and beloved of many people. And then I like people like Teresa of Avila. What I like about her, she said that getting closer to God is for everybody, and experiencing God through prayer is for everybody. It's for the truck driver. It's for the nurse and office worker. Getting closer to God is possible for everyone. So I like that. I like Teresa of Avila and what she had to say. And I like A.W. Tozer talking about the pursuit of God. And I like Madame Guyon talking about a simple prayer to get closer to God. And there are other writers that I like, but right now I want to talk about how did I find out about these people? Well, I've always been a searching kind of a person. I've always had an interest in truth and in psychology, and in religion, even when I was in high school. But when did I start to find out about these people? Well, I would say that my first introduction here, I want to reminisce a little bit. Here's how it started. There used to be, going back about 30 years ago, every night on one of the San Francisco Christian radio stations around 11:30 or 11:45, there was a 15-minute, but there were actually two 15-minute programs. One of them was Ray Pringle. And incidentally, Ray Pringle is still, his broadcasts, even though he's passed away, are still on the air. And one of the big networks that I'm on has Ray Pringle, his 15-minute broadcasts every day. Anyway, there's Ray Pringle, but then here comes the other one. Chaplain Ray. Chaplain Ray had a 15-minute program, and it was on every weekday night, about 11:30 or 11:45, I can't remember which. But Chaplain Ray had a prison ministry, headquartered in Dallas, Texas, and he went to visit prisoners. So I liked his program for some reason. I don't know why, I just liked it. Here's a little aside, if you don't mind, because I'm reminiscing. So if I'm reminiscing, then I guess it's okay for me to go wandering down memory lane, but occasionally give you a little aside. So here's an aside. I don't know why, but I've always liked preachers or radio or ministers on the radio who, I don't know how to describe it other than to say the old hellfire and brimstone kind of preachers. And I know that that turns a lot of people off, but I just like somebody who spoke directly and boldly and, you know, told the cows how, what's the old expression, how the cows ate the tell the cows eat the cabbage, to read somebody the Riot Act, you know, something like that. Just bold and straightforward and using a lot of Bible verses. But the only way I can say is hellfire and brimstone type of a preacher. Well, I don't know why, but I've always liked to hear them because I think I like the clarity of it. And the, you know what it's like? It's like when you were in, remember when you were in school and there was one kid that was really rotten and he would come around and punch you in the arm and it would hurt. And you'd say, what'd you do that for? And then he would just laugh, kind of a bully type of a person. He was no good, basically, or he needed to get his comeuppance. That's what it is. Maybe it wasn't that he was no good, but he needed his comeuppance. So he went around and bullied everybody. But then all of a sudden, somebody stood up to him and they got in a fight and the other person won and the bully was defeated. And you kind of liked that. You stood there and you watched and you liked to see him get his comeuppance. Or maybe there was somebody that was always doing bad things and getting away with stuff, like somebody who would steal your stuff, maybe, that kind of a person. And then one time the teacher caught him doing something bad and gave him a really hard time and sent him to the principal or something. You liked it. You liked it when somebody who was doing wrong got their comeuppance, when they were told how the cow eats the cabbage. Well, I guess it's something like that. So I just liked hearing somebody speak in a kind of a bold, direct way. I like that. But anyway, so maybe he was one of those. I don't even remember. But here's what I do remember. He had, for a little while, a promotional item that you could get if you sent in a little donation, then he would send it to you. And it was actually Experiencing God Through Prayer by Madame Guillaume. It was her book. It was published by the Whitaker House. In English translation, a very short little book, very nice, but I had never heard of her before. That's the first time I ever heard of her. But for some reason, I don't know why, I wrote or called in, made a little donation to get that book. Now, I'm the kind of person, I rarely call, you know, maybe once every, I don't know, every 10 years or once every 20 years. But I did, and I got the little book. And so that was my introduction to Madame Guillaume. And then it led to the others that I mentioned before, like A.W. Tozer, Francois Fenelon, Brother Lawrence, Thomas A. Kempis, Miguel Molinos, John of the Cross, Teresa of Avila, people like that. Writers who talked about experiencing God. That's how it began. And so here I am, 30, maybe 35 years later, and that's what I'm talking about. Who would have thought that I would end up being on the air talking about such things? Well, it's a great joy to me. Now, those of you who are just listening in, maybe for the first time, I just want you to know that I'm just a person. And I don't have an organization. There's nothing to belong to. All I am is just a voice on the radio. And I like to be able to talk about these things, so I actually spend my own money to buy the airtime to talk about these things. And I'm hoping, I sincerely hope that that's what I'm supposed to be doing. And if that's what I'm supposed to be doing, then that's what I'm doing. Not because I'm a nice person, but just because that's what I'm supposed to do, and pray that I do it acceptably. All right. So here we are talking about experiencing God.
You're listening to Shedding Shackles, a breath of fresh air on the radio.
So what are some of the things that keep you from experiencing God? Maybe this would be a good way to begin my talk for today. So I did my reminiscing, so I guess I won't reminisce anymore. Hope you enjoyed it. If you didn't, I hope you're still there listening. But it's good because that way you get to know a little bit about me and what I'm interested in and that sort of thing. So what are some of the things that might prevent you from experiencing God? Well, a couple of things. First of all, what can prevent you is having once thought that you had actually found the answer, that you had attained it, but you really hadn't. You just thought you had. You were emotional. How many of you, look, it's not so bad. You may have, you know, claimed to have found the truth, but then later on you find out that you really didn't, but you don't want to admit it. You don't want to admit it. But look, it's not so hard. Maybe it is hard, but it's not so bad to have to admit it. Just admit it. Maybe not to other people, but in your heart, just admit it. Look, I'll give you a classic example. How many of you, when you were in high school, you thought you were in love? Or maybe you were in high school or you were in college and there was somebody and you thought you were in love and you were sure that this was it. Oh, and you, the words that you spoke and you said, we'll be true to each other forever and ever and ever and so on and so forth. But then what happened? Well, maybe you drifted apart. Maybe you went home from college to your hometown and she went home to her hometown. And while she was away for summer, she met somebody else and maybe you got involved in some other stuff. And when you came back, it wasn't the same anymore. But while you had been involved deeply, you were absolutely sure that this was the person for you forever and ever. Remember something like that? Well, that's okay. Okay, so it didn't work out. No big deal. You were emotional. Well, a lot of you have accepted religion on an emotional basis like that. And so you like the idea of God and Jesus. You liked the idea of doing things right. You wanted to be a better person. You really and truly did. And you had ideals. And you really and truly wanted it to be. And it was okay. Maybe you cleaned up your act a little bit. Maybe you stopped smoking or stopped drinking or stopped taking drugs for a while or forever. Maybe you gave up drugs. That's good. All right. And the people that you were involved with, the Bible studies you went to and all of it, it helped you to give up drugs. Okay, that's good. That's very good. But all I'm saying is that maybe there's still, maybe deep down in your heart, you know that there's still something a little bit more, a little more. All right. Because all the words, see that the words that we say, they can get in the way. The words that you say can get in the way if you don't want to admit that what you're saying, you're not really sure about. So you have to be willing to say, well, I'm not so sure. Yeah, don't go say it to other people necessarily because they might give you a hard time or try to convince you or tell you that you're a terrible person. But just deep down, you kind of say, I'm not so sure. That's okay. All right, then what else can block you? Well, what am I talking about now? I'm talking about things that can block you from finding the real deal, from actually experiencing God, from becoming a friend of God. Look, it's not for everybody. In the Old Testament covers a couple thousand years of history or more? I don't know, more than that. I don't know how many thousand years it covers, but it covers a long time. And during that all that time, well, did God say that Noah was his friend? Noah was a friend of God? Then there was, I think, Elijah, who was, what did they say? Not a friend of God, but I forget the term. But there weren't a lot of people that were, and David, David was very close to God. So there were a few, and I'm sure there were many other nice people. There was Ruth, and there were other people that loved God, and they were close to him. And all I'm saying is that it's not for everybody. So we hear of a handful of people that were definitely close to God, but probably there were thousands that really weren't. All right, so it's not for everybody, but for some of us, that's really what we're looking for. All right, so I'm talking now about what might prevent you from finding this closeness to God. Did you know that my most popular book is The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage, a spiritual and practical look at relationships? My favorite chapter is How to Forgive and Forget, The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage. Check it out at Amazon.com or SheddingShackles.com.
Hi, my name is Andrew. You're listening to Shedding Shackles with your host, Roland Trujillo. Roland brings old-time religion to life as he talks about repentance and turning back to God. Roland makes a new program every week just for the radio listener. So be sure to take advantage of this special resource. Roland wants you to know that Shedding Shackles is easy to find at your favorite podcast place. Roland says that since his program is only on the radio once or twice a week, you really should check out the podcast so you can listen again. Thanks and blessings.
All right, so I'm talking now about what might prevent you from finding this closeness to God. So what will prevent you? I better start listing them or I'm going to run out of time. Resentment will block you from God. It's a little bit of hate. It's a little bit of judgment. It will block you from God. And I don't need to go into all of that because it's pretty obvious. You can't hate people and love God at the same time. And you're not going to be his friend if you hate people. It's that simple. If you resent people and puff up in pride, and pride will block you too. So whenever you're stubborn and you don't want to admit you're wrong, that blocks you. So what else can block you? What else can block you is, we'll come back to resentment again. So you join some group, you join some organization, religious or spiritual or what secular, whatever it was. You joined them and they claimed to have the answer. And then when you joined up, you found out, when you got to look behind the curtains, and when you found out they were after your money, and when you saw deceitful things going on where they were fooling people, or maybe there was somebody there that you really looked up to, and then all of a sudden he said something that was very inappropriate. Oh my God. So, all right, you rushed off. Well, good, because it's good that you discovered that the place was not a good place to be. It's good you discovered that. What if you hadn't discovered it? What if you'd have gone on for more years? Oh, that would have been awful. So you discovered it, you rushed off. But here's the problem. Watch out for resentment. See, the problem is that some people, they've been burned by some group or some person, and then they hate that person or they hate that group. And then they sit around hating, and then they start a one-person campaign against that group or that person. And they spend all their time studying all the bad things that the group is saying or doing. And they go around telling everybody about how bad the group is and so on and so forth. So the rest of their life is spent hating that group. But can't you see that if you spend the rest of your life hating that group or that person, you're still involved with them. You're not free. You're still enslaved by the hate and the resentment. So you have to let it go. All right, so if you wasted your money, you wasted it. Let it go. What do you do if you buy a car that's no good, or you buy a pair of shoes they sold you that's too tight and no good? Sometimes you get your money back, sometimes you can't. All right, so you lost some money. So pick yourself up, dust yourself off. Okay, you lost some money. Forget it. So you went to some group and they were users or manipulators. Okay, just be glad you discovered it and forget about it. All right, go on with your life. Leave it all behind. Let it go. Make it unimportant. Move on. Okay? And how do you move on? By forgiving. Letting it go. Some of you have been treated unjustly. Watch out for resentment. So that'll block you. Okay, your dad said you were a wimp and rejected you. Okay, so you hate him. Or your mom was constantly nagging you about this and that and putting you down and you hated her. Okay, and your brother thought he was better than you are. You hated him. Or your sister was always teasing you and her friends were teasing you and so you hated her. See what I mean? Let it go. Don't hate him. Let it go. All right? Somebody did it to them. Look, if a person has found God, really and truly is a friend of God and walks with God. That's what I was looking for earlier. One of them, I think it was Elijah. Maybe it was Enoch. It was said that he walked with God. Can you imagine how beautiful that is? Or to be called a friend of God? Well, take a look at your mom. Let's say you hated your mom or you hated your dad or you hated your brother or you hated somebody who fooled you or betrayed you or stole your money or bullied you or something. Were they a friend of God? No. Did they walk with God? No. They're trapped into some hell. And the cruelty that they, whatever they did to you, it came from that hell that they were in themselves. So if somebody does you wrong, they're in some kind of a hell. Otherwise, they wouldn't do you wrong. See, if they rose above it all, if they had left the hatred of their parent behind, of someone who did it to them, see, that's how it's passed on from one generation to the next. We're bullied. We're intimidated. Sometimes you can be intimidated by false goodness, too. False goodness, you can be trapped. See? So you're trapped by not willing to admit something isn't true. You're trapped by having doubt and not speaking up for yourself. You're trapped by hating someone or resenting them. And it comes into the present. What happened to you in the past? You resented it. And now here it is. Something like similar is happening now and you resent it again. And by resenting it again, you keep all the old stuff alive. See, so if you tripped on a chair 20 years ago and hurt your toe so bad you couldn't go to the dance, and when you didn't go to the dance, the guy or the girl that you wanted to go to the dance with, they ended up going with somebody else, and then they became their boyfriend or girlfriend, and then you totally lost out. And you've hated that chair that you tripped on and hated the whole thing ever since. All right. But you're going to have to let it go. So today, if you're walking around and you stub your toe on a chair, then just feel the pain in your toe, but don't resent the chair. Don't resent yourself. Don't resent life. Don't resent God. Don't resent things that you lost out on. Just stand there and bear the pain without hating. Feel the hurt, but not the hate. And then you'll be free of it. Okay? You'll be free of it.
Being free is a great feeling, but freedom must come along with discipline. A Meditation Moment. I'm Jeremiah Trujillo. I'm a pianist, and I practice every single day. I have the freedom to not practice, but I know that if I don't, my piano skills will deteriorate. You should seek to be inwardly guided, so that when your parents give you freedom, or your boss at work gives you freedom, you'll still do the right things while taking care of yourself. Find more inspiration for your day at SheddingShackles.com.
So I've listed some of the things that block you from God. So how do you start to get free of all of these things? Well, there is one thing that may help you, and it's the little meditation. Well, what's helpful about that? It helps you get out of your thoughts. Is to stand back from your thoughts and emotions. Look, right now your thoughts drive your emotions and your emotions drive your thoughts. And it's like a squirrel cage down there, and it just keeps all the old stuff going. All the old hates and resentments and hurt feelings and angers and bitternesses and all of that. It keeps it all going. So if you could just stand outside of it. Look, it's just like I've always said, and it's not my idea. I didn't come up with it, but I want to use it because it's helpful. And that is, somebody said that being able to stand back from your thoughts is like sitting on the bank of a river and watching the river flow by. But if you jump into the river and go floating away in the current, it'll take you to the rapids as you go over the waterfall. Do you see what I mean? So you don't want to jump in the river. Instead, you sit on the bank and watch it flow by. So you have to be the same way with your thoughts and your emotions. You just watch them flow by without falling into them. Watch them without falling into them. Another example that I heard, it's not my idea, I didn't come up with it, but it's also very good, so I'll use it, and I've used it before. Being able to watch your thoughts without falling into them is like waking up at 3 o'clock and the television is on, and there's some old movie on the television. An old movie that's no good, and it's blaring in the background, and you're not paying attention to it, and you're not interested in it, and it's not credible, and it's there in the background blaring away, and it doesn't even register. It doesn't register. So you have to be the same with all of those thoughts. They want to pull you into them. Instead, learn to stand back and just watch them flow by, and then they diminish, and you're free. See? So the little meditation actually helps you to practice doing that. It's very nice, actually, very, very, very simple. And it could be quite helpful to you. And of course, it's free, totally free. The simple little one that I have is free. The 4-part one that's very lovely is free. It's all free. So hope you listen to this program again. We're only on once or twice a week, so try to remember what time it's on. But you can also go to the website, and there we have the programs archived. And I also have quite a few little tiny lectures and videos on YouTube. They're actually quite popular. When I say quite popular, I mean not popular like, you know, billions of people going to them. But I mean, people who are searching kind of people, somehow they find them and they like them. I have quite a few of them there. So the way to find my YouTube channel, the easiest way is to go to sheddingshackles.com, click on watch, and there it'll say, go to Roland's YouTube channel. That's the way to do it. All right. Hope you enjoyed my little rambling and reminiscing today. And until next time, Lord willing and the creek don't rise, I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Shedding Shackles with your host, Roland Trujillo. Now you can listen to Roland anytime by logging on to www.sheddingshackles.com. Please remember that Shedding Shackles is listener supported. Thank you.
Shedding Shackles is sponsored by Roland Trujillo.